Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
What up, friends? This is Act 1 for today's podcast for July 17th. I break it up into two acts, so enjoy the first act, and then the second act starts up. It's no big deal. It's just a separate podcast entry. There you go. So I have that for you. Enjoy this first act of the Eric Zane Show podcast. Welcome in. Hello. 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 Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in this dormer above my garage. See, Brian Callahan is here. I haven't seen you here in quite some time. I hope you are well, my friend. Knowing my luck, you're probably here every day, and I'm just being an idiot. Let's get after it here. First off, a little bit of housekeeping. We have Dear Meathead with my beloved 90-year-old father in moments. Actually, 42 moments. 42 minutes. No one says 42 moments. If you have a question for Dad on Dear Meathead, he would love to engage you. Send it along on the Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. And I'll chat it up with Dad and Joanne. So that'll be great. eric@ericzaneshow.com if you have a question for Dad. Today is a Big Fraud Wednesday. That means Ben Glaze and I in the evening will be getting started. Let's get started for another Big Fraud event. At around 6:15 my time, Ben and I will commence with who are these free beers, where we will be breaking down this odd scenario of Greg posting juicy ass shots of one of his coworkers, and then the subsequent pivot. Chris from Buffalo writes, "Good morning, friends. I listened to the old Freebeer and Hot Wings shit show. They had to hit the dump button four times in one game show segment with callers. People kept saying shit." Well, that's actually funny. I want to hear that. So that, and then afterwards, we will do the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast featuring 1 minute of the Bomity podcast with our pal Ben Glaze. Dear God. Next week, I will not be in this studio. I will be up north at Fear Bunker North, in the Fear Bunker North studio. Everything will remain the same for the most part. It'll just be from the trailer. When that happens, sometimes there's a little bit of an issue sometimes with the video. It's a little glitchy. So I apologize in advance for that. Hopefully everything will work out. All right, so once again, Dear Meathead, now in 39 minutes, send it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Well, I've said this many times before, that the center of the political world is right here in West Michigan. It was just announced that the first appearance by Trump is happening on Saturday, since somebody tried to shoot him. I don't know if you saw the story about, you know how he's at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he has a bandage on his ear. And of all people to rip on him, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, was like making fun of him because of the bandage. And I'm like, what the fuck? What are you doing? And I mean, it's one thing to attack Trump, but I don't know if it's a great idea to attack him with anything to do with someone who tried to kill him, or how he almost lost his life in front of all those people in an event where someone else was tragically murdered. There's really no win at this point in going down that road. What has happened here effectively to people who hate Trump is you kind of lost any ability to rip him a new asshole. Leading up to the assassination attempt, it's a cottage industry to make fun of Trump and the morons who follow him. Now, I'll still do it to some degree, but when it comes to Trump itself, I mean, I'm happy that he's not, wasn't too badly injured. I don't want Trump to die. We need Trump here for comedy, for fuck's sake. And he's going to be the president anyway, so I don't know. I mean, I've started to wrap my mind around this, and I think you should too. For all of you audience members that do not want Trump to win, I'm with you. But you better wrap your mind around the idea of him being president and get comfortable with that. He's going to win. And as each passing day, he gets more steam. He didn't even need to get shot for him to win. He was going to win anyway because Biden is, well, he's Biden. I mean, come on now. Undecided voters are going to choose Trump. Anyway, attacking him is probably not the best idea right now. Even I know that, and I'm an idiot. Mark Hamill is attacking him because of the gauze on his ear. Kenny writes, if a person wishes Trump had been murdered on Saturday, that person is kind of more of a problem than Trump. No, you're right. You're right. I agree with that. So now everybody is ripping him an asshole, Mark Hamill, including Kumia. Anthony wrote on social media. Oh, I think O'Neill just got yelled at. I think he might be eating poop. Kumia wrote, hard to believe that 47 years after I walked out of a theater in 1978, I'd be thinking about Luke Skywalker as a raging asshole. But people aren't holding back. This Kyle Gass Tenacious D thing is not going away. Oh my God. More on that in a bit. Chris writes, uh-oh, another pause. When will it end? I've been getting some blowback because when I sit here and discuss things with you, occasionally I may pause or say, all right. Those are called crutches. But, honestly, the pause is effective. I don't give a fuck what anybody tells me. I know what the fuck I'm doing. The pause is 1,000,000% effective. I'm processing. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. Corey writes, I want Trump to die. I just want him to rot away. I just want him to rot away in a jail cell. I think you meant to write, I don't want Trump to die. I'd rather have a completely a brain-dead Joe Biden than a healthy Trump. Kenny adds, a dramatic pause is completely different from a Ben Glaze pause or an or an ah. I don't think Ben ever pauses. I think Ben only goes, Corey, you again with your post there where you meant to say I don't want him to die, but you in fact wrote I want Trump to die. Again, this is kind of like a continuation of yesterday. You're a fuck up when it comes to being a chat participant. You're terrible at this. Remember yesterday, Aram writes, spread the good guy? You got to stop. I think you should actually take a few shows off and not contribute because you're so bad at being a contributor. Cole says someone needs to edit Trump into the emperor's spot when he says to let the hate flow through you. Paul Forrester says, is the dumpster guy still around? Was his name Kyle? Yes, he is. I did talk to Kyle last week. He's had a rough summer. He's lost a dear, dear friend who has put him, and that has had put him in a deep depression, the passing of his friend. That was the guy who he did the Chibians podcast with. And so that, and there's also some other things. He's family members, friends have been having some health issues. So he's kind of not that much in the mood to be hilarious. But I will again try to get him on the show tomorrow. He's been passing because he just doesn't feel good. The Magic Misfit writes, I've lost a close buddy. Sucked. Can't talk shit there. This too shall pass. So anyway, what I wanted to start the show to talk about was where I am is a hotbed for conservatives, alt-rights, and all that MAGA shit. People with brains like me are fewer and farther in between. All right? So it makes sense that Trump would come here, Trump and his new running mate, J.D. Vance, to, you know, rile up the base. So they come from miles around to beautiful Grand Rapids to pack 15,000 people into an arena to cheer him on in his first appearance since that fucking psycho tried to shoot him. 30 minutes till Meathead. Send your questions along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. So with that being said, here's unprecedented security expected at the Grand Rapids Trump rally. And not only is this big, all right, it's Kamala Harris is also coming. She's going to be in Kalamazoo. So there's a lot at stake, a lot riding on this. And Michigan is one of the most important states because it's a toss-up. States that may have gone Democratic in the previous election are more than likely going to go Republican this time. Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada. Not all of those were Republican. They may have all been Democratic. I don't know, but more than likely, they're going to go Republican this time. So Michigan is critical. So here you go. Let's get into the security talk after the assassination attempt on Trump, because it's not out of the question to have some type of psycho copycat moment.
First tonight, we learned today that...
And you're like, I can't hear a damn thing. That's because I'm not prepared. Oh, my God.
Former President Trump and vice presidential pick J.D. Vance will rally in Grand Rapids this weekend.
According to the Trump campaign, they are expected to talk about inflation and the border and crime policies. News 8's Adrian Adoria spoke with the former Secret Service agent about how this event might look different following the assassination attempt and what security levels he expects.
Brian, Amber, this rally will come exactly 1 week since the former president survived that attempted assassination and 1 week since announcing J.D. Vance as his running mate for vice president. The former Secret Service agent that I spoke with says this what happened in Pennsylvania was an anomaly, but expects more security presence this weekend.
You're going to see an unprecedented level of security here in Grand Rapids for his events.
Former President Trump making his way to West Michigan to rally voters.
Okay. He's walking out Monday there. That's from the RNC in Milwaukee. And when he's walking out with the bandage on his ear, and he looks a little bit peaked, not nearly as rambunctious, with that music playing, that Proud to Be an American song, I'm just telling you, no, I'm not voting for the guy, but this is stirring. This is fucked up to even think that somebody like Trump, it's fucking incredible. And it's not enough to make me want to vote for the guy, but it's these moments that are gigantic. That's an emotional fucking moment. Proud to be an American. Say what you will, but that's touching. And Biden, he can't capture any of that. Okay? Nothing like that.
In his first rally since his attempted assassination and since selecting Ohio Senator J.D. Vance to be his running mate for vice president. The event sparking questions about if there will be heightened security and how events like this might look different now and in the future.
You'll see a significant presence because obviously it's going to be a big crowd, right? This is the first visit after he gets officially, you know, nominated. So you're going to see a massive group of people coming out to see this. And so the security will be, you know, unlike anything probably we've seen here in Grand Rapids in a long time.
Unlike in Pennsylvania, this rally will be held indoors at the Van Andel Arena downtown. And former Secret Service agent Jason Russell says that makes it easier to secure.
Yeah, do you think it was intentional that it's going to be indoors, or is that just coincidence?
I think you're probably going to see quite a few more indoor events. They're just easier to secure because they're more defined. Obviously, the perimeter's a lot easier to define. So I would venture that probably in the next several weeks, following the convention and including, you know, President Biden, you're going to see a lot more indoor events maybe than outdoor.
The assassination attempt on the former president likely leaving some on edge about attending more rallies for any candidate in the future. But Russell says what happened in Pennsylvania was not the norm and that it should not deter people from being politically involved.
I would not hesitate at all to come out. You know, I think that was an anomaly what we saw this weekend, and certainly has been addressed and will be addressed, you know, so you're going to see security at a pretty significant level.
Russell says the job of a Secret Service agent remains the same, but the scope of protections have increased.
The landscape protection-wise that the Secret Service is dealing with now, with the animosity and just the divide, is far more than what I ever dealt with as an agent, you know, when I was active. So I think just the whole threat landscape has changed. So the amount of different intelligence that they have to gather, the different types of threats that they're looking at, has become so complex that it's become a really difficult job to be perfect, right?
Uh-huh.
Not only do we have former President Trump's rally on Saturday in Grand Rapids, but Vice President Kamala Harris has events scheduled tomorrow in Kalamazoo and Battle Creek. We will have full coverage of her visit to West Michigan on air and on WoodTV.com.
All right, so...
Power outages aren't just a hassle.
Shit. Definitely a big deal. There's now details emerging about what went wrong in Pennsylvania. How could this possibly have happened? By the way, Becky says, this guy does public speaking events about company security. He's a very dynamic speaker. So I guess Becky is aware of that guy. Tyler, what is going on? Something between Kenny and Tyler. All right, whatever. So there's more news coming out about what went wrong. The security breakdown. The security gap appears to stem from how and what Secret Service communicated with local law enforcement before and during the event, and the apparent decision not to place security personnel on top of the building. Wait till you hear the reason why. As you know, members of the Secret Service's counter-sniper team and counter-assault team were there, placed on rooftops immediately near the area. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle told ABC News that no agent was on the roof that the shooter was on because the roof was sloped. That building in particular, quote, has a slope roof at its highest point, and so there's a safety factor that would be considered there that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a slope roof, she said. Now, pause. Are you telling me that you're worried about, like, a slip and fall from the sniper? You're like, no, no, no. I know that's a... Hey, guys, I know that's a clear headshot to the president, but there's no possible way we could safely put up an agent there. There's zero anything we could possibly do to make this safe for our agents. That's ridiculous. In addition, another reason why it was bad of her to say that, she continues, so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from the inside. Well, no one gives a shit about inside of the building. That reasoning, according to this article, has gotten heavy blowback, given that the Secret Service snipers, a heavily armed counter-assault team with the codename Hawkeye, they were on the roof and next door, and it was sloped. It was the same goddamn roof. And they were up there just fine when they filled that little fucker full of lead. That is the team responsible for taking out threats so that agents on the ground can physically shield and remove the president. Another Secret Service counter-sniper team, codenamed Hercules, was also at the rally to eliminate any long-range threats, also on slope roofs. So your response is, yeah, we didn't want anybody to file an OSHA claim if they get up there. I mean, this is we could be in big trouble if one of our snipers is up there and twists an ankle. We can't have that. So we allowed for a clear shot at the president's head. That's what we opted to do. That's she's going to lose her job for that shit. Oh my God. Local law enforcement agencies were tasked with securing areas around the venue that did not require attendees to go through magnometers. Magnetometers for screening. But officers told the local news that a lack of manpower and extremely poor planning were to blame for endangering Trump. While three snipers were stationed inside the building, the shooter climbed with an operations plan, having them look out windows towards the Trump rally. No one was placed on the roof They could have just had some guy. I mean, there's a ladder there that he climbed that's attached to the building. Why don't you just have a guy standing there at the goddamn ladder on Mother Earth? Two guys, five guys. So they're inside of the building with their binoculars going, okay, looks good. And then they hear pop, pop, pop. And they're like, oh, that sounds like it's coming from the roof. If only there was a way to keep a 20-year-old fuck from getting on the roof. God, can you imagine how much they piss their pants inside of there when they realize that that little fucker was up on the roof shooting at the president? Vice president or former president? Ah, whatever the fuck. He's going to win anyway. Like it fucking matters what we call him. My God. Pooh Bear? Pooh Bear? Pooh Bear, are you there? Can you close that door for me, please? Because I'm screaming. Bruce opened it. Are you a mile away? Oh, okay. Yeah, you can bring them all in. Yeah. And you're leaving me, right?
No, I'm just gonna be outside.
Okay, you got friends coming over. Pool party. Pool party. Okay, see you around. Have fun. Pool party. Yeah, this doesn't make it any better. I'm surprised this crazy lady even admitted this shit. In the interview, Cheeto confirmed that there was local police in the building. There was local police in the area that were responsible for the outer perimeter of the building. God damn. Part of the department. Why were the local cops? I mean, this isn't a small community. You know how it is in small towns. The cops that are in those towns are fucking morons. They're those moron cops who have like a sixth grade education. They're stupid usually. While retardy Oswald is on the roof firing away. By the way, I cannot take credit for retardy Oswald. I forgot which one of you gave me that, but thank you. Part of the Department of Homeland Security, the Secret Service is the primary agency in charge of protecting current and former presidents, as well as presidential candidates and sometimes foreign dignitaries, a job that includes thousands of trips requiring event security. Yet they handed off, they agreed to hand off securing the one building that is clearly in line to blow someone's head off. By the way, in an unbelievable bit of coincidence, the building is called Crosshairs Assembly. The name of the company that the building is, I'm totally lying. That is not true. But did you see, like, the day before, Biden made some post and said, we got to put Donald Trump in the bullseye. Yeah, that's all we need is more fuel for the conspiracy theory fire. Biden put the hit out on him. Phil Andrew, a former FBI agent and head of the PAX Group security consulting firm, said protection at such events are made up of three rings of security, more like a three-ring circus, with the first being the Secret Service agents who can physically shield an individual, a second team working the perimeter, and a third focused on the exterior areas. All right, so there obviously was a massive vulnerability there. And my God, the gap in coverage and confusion in the midst of the chaos has roiled many Trump supporters, some of whom allege gross incompetence at best and outright conspiracy at the worst. And that's what we talked about yesterday on this show. It's impossible to ignore. Okay? Considering the timeline. And I don't believe this, but I understand why some do. You know, like when somebody comes up with a conspiracy theory, I'm the first one to say, yeah, you're fucking nuts. I think on this one, I understand why you believe this. You've got Biden circling the drain. Circling the drain. He can't even wipe his asshole, let alone run a country. So the conspiracy theory of, okay, take out Trump. Oh, shit. My God. There's more to the article. I think preliminarily there are going to be a lot of questions about why those steps weren't taken here. According to one, there are many questions to be answered. Several former top Secret Service agents told the AP that the agency must find out how Crooks, the bad guy, Lee Retardy Oswald, even gained access to the roof, suggesting there may have been a flaw in the event's security plan. Yeah, you think so? Dan Crenshaw, that's that one-eyed dude. Caution against jumping to assumptions. I've spoken with law enforcement. I've spoken with the Secret Service. I've gotten a better understanding of what actually happened, he said in a video posted to X. Now, no excuses being made here. This is a security failure. Anytime a president gets shot, it's a security failure. But then we have to assess whose fault it was. Reports indicate Crooks was spotted looking at the building by local law enforcement, who alerted others that he was walking towards the back of the building with a backpack. One officer was even reportedly hoisted up the building to look at Crooks, and Crooks pointed a gun at him, and then they dropped back down. Crenshaw said their failure to actually confront the shooter was a problem, but it was important to keep in mind that the officers were not Secret Service agents. I'm telling you, those cops sucked. They're like, oh, fuck, this ain't in the job description, man. Fuck this shit. That's what they did. You know, like I said, you get these local yokel fucking sheriff assholes. They don't know anything. They're morons. They're everywhere around here. My God. All right. That concludes my portion of the broadcast day about the shooting and the subsequent visit by Trump. A lot of comments to get to. Jimmy comes up with why no radio communication? Yeah, if he was observed, you would think that in the time that the observation was made, like if they know he's on the roof and local yokels are, hey, get on my shoulders. I'll give you a boost there, Cletus. See what's up. If you're busy doing that shit, wouldn't you have radioed in? Hey, we got a sniper on the roof here. Shoot that fucker. That's so fucking shady to me. Jimmy adds how people in the crowd were pointing at the guy. Like everybody knew he was up there. It wouldn't surprise me if there was social media posts that said, look, there's a sniper on the roof who's about to kill the president. And the Secret Service are like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. Huh? What are you doing? We don't like slope roofs. Magic Misfit says Trump was here a few years ago. It was cool seeing Air Force One take off and haul ass. Aram says, I think the militias that support Trump would have done a better job securing that area. Brian adds, apparently there was difficulty communicating between local police and the Secret Service. Yeah, considering you're with the very likely leader of the United States, that is not acceptable. Jimmy says, it really is it's really similar to the JFK shooting. And Corey says something probably wrought with typos. He says, no, that guy hit a moving target and he didn't miss. Or so it seems. With a shitty Italian rifle. Ryan says, apparently that's what happens when you rent a cop for your next event. Maureen writes, ha! They aren't like my boyfriend, Sexy Sheriff Swanson. My lips are like jelly. Corey says the Secret Service probably don't, he writes, choose first, but I think he meant shoot first because he sucks, because it would start a panic. Yeah, I don't believe that either. Hey, friends, it's Joe Pal Easy with my latest and greatest marketing partner, Mint Mobile. I know a lot of you have been through the ringer when it comes to costs with big wireless. As you know, what you see is never what you get. You ever have that happen where you get in there and you're like, okay, they're like, you're going to get this, this, and this, and this, and then you pay us this. And you go, oh, yeah. And then, like, you get the bill and you're like, what the hell just happened? It's like bait and switch. And then you call in and you realize that you're screwed. So you're like, oh my God, I might as well just keep overpaying for this. Never again. Enter Mint Mobile. You never have to worry about the gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, they mean it. I've done this. You should too. Say bye-bye to the overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to the rescue with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. My God! To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month and give the other guys the big heave-ho. mintmobile.com/Zane. All right, fine print time. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to the $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Kenny adds, everybody was aware of the shooter before the Secret Service. Ryan says, interesting that the cops didn't see that as a wonderful opportunity to expend their firearms. And the idea that, so one of you posted, yeah, my God, if the shooter was black, he would have been dead. He probably would have been dead when he arrived, like, to the area. Are you telling me cops are so easy to fill any black guy full of lead and they see a shooter on the roof and they don't shoot him? And we're talking loser cops who would love to shoot people? Give me a fucking break. I am officially no longer reading any of Corey's chats until we can get... I mean, I'll read them quietly, but I'm not going to read them out loud. Because he keeps fucking up. You have earned an ignore your comment ticket. That's what you get. Goddamn. He says, look, it's a voice to text fail. No, it's not. It's a you fail. Because when you read it, when you do the voice to text, you can still look at it to make sure it's okay. Before you send the damn thing, you stupid shit. God damn. Megan says, no one proofreads talk to text. That doesn't save time. Jesus. All right. For those who are checking out the show on Facebook, thank you very much. The rest of it is on Twitch. I'm going to kick you out, send you on your way. The audio of this podcast from this show right here becomes the audio podcast for you to download wherever you download shows. I prefer Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Follow me on Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane for tonight's latest edition of Who Are These Free Beers? Followed by the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Thank you so much, and thank you for being here, but I send you on your way. Twitch and Facebook brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, and EV. X brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Follow me on those platforms as well as on YouTube. The open and live stream of today's podcast brought to you by Frank Fuss, My Policy Shop Insurance. If you do not have health care, you're really rolling the dice. If you are in between jobs, perhaps your employer does not offer you insurance, or maybe you're in business for yourself, you can still get health care. Get it the way I get it, from the marketplace or Obamacare. Get it while it lasts. Reach out to Frank Fuss. And he'll help you every step of the way. True, you could just go to healthcare.gov and do it yourself, but who wants to do that? Because it's very easy to screw up. I've screwed it up in the past. After year one, after I screwed it up, I started reaching out to Frank Fuss, and he's been my guy every year since. So in order to do this, you got to go to buyinsurancehere.com. That is Frank's page, his info page. Fill out the form with your name, address, phone number, all that shit. And Frank will reach out to you, and then he'll start you and help you out in getting your health care through healthcare.gov. Frank's services cost you nothing. He gets paid by insurance companies. Buyinsurancehere.com. You'd be surprised at how affordable health care is for you and your family. Just put your trust into Frank. He'll take care of everything. I will be at Berlin Raceway this weekend for the Coleman Lutz 500, berlinraceway.com. I will be at the event sitting with Coleman, his right-hand man, Matt, and all their pals and kids. berlinraceway.com for tickets. $14 when you buy them online. Under 15, free. Parking, free. You can bring in a 12 by 18 or smaller cooler with all of your snacks and soft drinks. No glass, no booze. BerlinRaceway.com. Before we get to Dad on Dear Meathead, and if you have a question, reach out to me, Eric@EricZaneShow.com. I see a few of them. Jason Bennett is here. Brian Callahan is here. If you have another question, maybe that'll be enough. I'm not sure. But if you have a question, send it along. Eric@EricZaneShow.com. Chris just signed up on Patreon. He sent me a nice email last week about the show, and I appreciated that. And then he followed up his enjoying the free podcast by signing up for Patreon. He did the 7 days free, and then it'll take over after that, and he'll start to throw either $5 or $10 a month at it. Thank you so much. And he writes this, easy. I just signed up for Patreon. This is yesterday he wrote this. Tonight. And I started the first Who Are These Free Beers? Because we have numerous episodes in there. Holy shit. In the subject line of this was dishwasher loading. It says, holy shit. I sadly remember listening to them discuss how to load the dishwasher. And at the time, I felt ashamed that I had listened to that in real time. Now, Chris is one of these folks who have slowly but surely been able to convert people one at a time. The Patricks, the Chris's here, the Jeremy Cosses. One at a time, I've been winning people over and convincing them to let go. It's okay to let go to that boring shit and get them listening to this show, a show that actually tries to put out content that's enjoyable and compelling. He adds, I had not realized how terrible the show has gotten. And that's what I hear all the time. You've been lulled into complacency. It's habit forming. You're comfortable with it. You're not laughing. You're not going, oh, wow. Or you're not going, oh, fuck you. I'm going to make you do that every time you listen to me. My goal is to make you say, oh, you're full of shit, Eric. Or, oh, you're right, Eric. Or, oh, my God, that's fucking funny. Or, holy shit, you're gross. Those are all things I'm trying to pull out of people. Okay? I don't give a shit what I pull out of you, just as long as I pull something out of you, except my dick, and not be boring. They are boring. That's a boring-ass show. So make them pay by telling them to fuck off and listening to this show. You and Ben mentioned drops. I know you used to do them, and they were great. Thank you. I was always a fan of them, even though some were not. Now, I believe Hot Wings is manning that helm, and there may be one per show because he is clueless half the time at what is happening on the show. Well, the thing about Hot Wings is, and that may be true, but he doesn't understand what could make a funny drop. He never has understood that. He doesn't think like that. Okay? He's a one-track mind. And I convinced Ben, I taught Ben exactly how to approach drops. Let me have it. Throw him in out of left field as much as you can. And he was great at it. He was a sniper. He turned into being better than I ever was at manning the drops. Hot Wings doesn't have the brain power to do that. He doesn't think creatively. He's not a creative guy at all. He's an analytical guy. The only drop he plays is, oh, you mean anal? And no one ever laughs because he's so tone deaf. I want to pick your brain and see if you remember doing this. Do you remember when you would say Hot Wings was just riding Free Beer's coattails? I do remember that. It would piss him off so much, and I wondered if you were told to drop it because you didn't do it for very long, or maybe I'm just reading into nothing. No, I was never told to lay off of Hot Wings. The only time I ever laid off Hot Wings was when I realized that it might be making me look bad, you know? But sometimes I couldn't help it because he's just so shitty at everything that it was just always fun to just pound the shit out of that guy.
God, was that great. I love that. All right. So it's time for Meathead. I'm going to bring Dad in right now for Dear Meathead. If you have a question, send it along. Eric@ericzaneshow.com on the world famous Shoreliners Striping inbox. Just spoke with Dad yesterday. Doing okay. Plugging along. Doing his best. Let's bring him in, him and Joanne in right now. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
How are you? It's your favorite son, Eric.
Yeah. Hello, my favorite son, Eric.
Hello to you. How is the day going?
The day's okay. Nice and sunshiny day, and Nikki's coming.
What?
Hallelujah.
Nikki's coming.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if the audience is familiar with Nikki, but I've talked many times about Joanne's daughters, which I call my sisters. They are in order of oldest to youngest, Susie, Elizabeth, and Nikki.
Yeah.
And
got that right.
Yeah, Nikki is just a little bit younger than I am. And yeah. And she lives out west in California.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, and she's coming to visit you.
Yes.
Yes.
Today.
Oh, that's
today.
Awesome. And
that means I end up losing my bed.
Oh, you do that.
Or something like that.
She's not sleeping here. She's sleeping with Liz.
Okay. Oh. All right. Oh. Now, Dad, I remember when I was growing up, Nikki. There was a real learning curve when it came to your relationship with Nikki, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was like the unhammered nail.
or bent nail.
Oh, yeah. She would. I remember she would challenge you big time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember her and I were probably 10 years old, 11 years old, and I remember watching the dynamic between you and her. Now, you had never raised girls, and so all of a sudden, you're surrounded by women.
Yeah.
And
that was a bummer.
And I remember thinking to myself, oh, man, he's screwed. He doesn't. Holy cow. Because she, wow, I mean, every turn in the road, she was like, wow, you guys were just butting heads all the time.
Well, hey, I guess it got changed finally.
No, it worked out. You know, everybody kind of grew up, but my God, I thought you guys were like a couple of titans.
Yeah.
It was a sight to behold. So that's nice that she's visiting. So that's great. I should head over and say hi, you know, come and see everybody.
I wish you would.
I'd like to. So that's great. Well, Dad, I want to get into another topic that's it's a gigantic story, current events, and that is this horrible attempted assassination of Trump.
Yeah, you believe that?
Wow. So where were you when you heard the news? I mean, were you, what?
I was sitting here on a chair.
Sitting here watching it.
Oh.
So we were watching it.
Okay. And then you saw when Trump threw himself on the ground?
Yes.
Yep.
That was pretty scary, wasn't it?
It sure was. I couldn't believe that.
Now.
I just could not believe that.
Now, you guys were around when Kennedy was assassinated. I mean, you were, probably in your 20s or 30s at about that time.
I don't have too much of a memory from that.
Yeah, I do.
Joanne, what do you remember about Kennedy? And like, do you remember where you were when that story unfolded?
Shopping for a new outfit because I was going to start working for General Motors.
And then while you were shopping, like the word came in on the radio?
Yes, and everybody come running out, the sales
That's really something that picture is burned into your brain. On those gigantic moments, people always remember like where they were, what they were thinking,
they remember.
All those particulars stay very clear.
Yes.
Now, Dad, since you were married to Mom, you were probably, when that happened, you probably don't remember because you were probably pulling your hair out or maybe falling down the steps.
I have a vague memory of it. If any.
Yeah, I understand. I know. Well, so what's your, so Trump survives. Unfortunately, some sweet man died in that moment the other day. But where do we go from here, Dad? What do you think's going to happen next?
I'll tell you, dude, we're going to have to tighten up the law. Enforcement of the crap that's happening out there.
Well,
everybody, you take a military person that's dedicated his life to everything in this country, you know, and all of a sudden somebody takes a gun and shoots them.
Well, yeah, that does happen to be sure. And they were talking about how there was a lapse in security or something like that. And I think a lot of people are like, well, that's not acceptable. There's no way that should ever happen to a person who is as important as like a former president or a president.
Absolutely, my God. These are either law enforcing people or former law enforcing people. Just kill them?
Yeah,
I cannot deal with that.
So the bad guy got shot, his life is over, and that's also something, you know, you have a mom and dad who, can you imagine being a mom and a dad of a 20-year-old and you think he's like at work, but in fact he's trying to shoot the former president. How devastating that would be for them.
And I don't even know if they know why they did that.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
No.
Well, we'll pick.
This is terrible.
Yeah, it really was terrible. Thank God there wasn't anything else that happened. You know, I mean, it was all horrible. But, you know, what's interesting is I was talking about it just moments ago. Trump is coming to my neck of the woods on Saturday.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his first venture out, first rally since the one where the guy tried to kill him. And it's going to be right here.
Yes, yes.
So that's a big story around here. All right.
I'm going to tell you a little story also.
Uh-huh.
I grew up in a country. I was a little guy when I came to this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but I'll tell you, the law was the law. Our punishment was, if someone kills somebody, he's not going to be living.
Oh,
they
yeah.
The law would kill him. Legally.
I definitely have heard about that in the past, but you know, and I don't think there would be. I think you'd really have to work hard to assassinate somebody in a country like where you were from in Iran, or maybe you wouldn't have to work as hard. I don't know if security would be as high. I just don't know if anybody would attempt it.
Oh no! And I'll tell you what, they'll hang you off of this something that was.
Well, Dad, I took a couple notes on that last thing you said, and so when we can look back and know that where you come from, the law was the law.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fool with that.
And the law would kill them.
Oh. Hey, over here, we take them, put them in jail,
pamper them,
buy them steaks every day. Are you kidding me?
No, yeah, we always take it easy on these people, you know? I think anybody who kills someone or hurts a child, you just kill them right there, you know?
I mean, severe punishment.
Right on.
According to Joanne, you put them in the island.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard of that. We talked about that once or twice. You got to put them on an island.
Island. Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure those laws have changed by now, but...
Dad, I have a question from Jason. He says, good morning, Meathead. I hope you are doing well.
Good morning. Same to you as well. I'm doing well, and I'm just trusting that everything is going well for you.
Yep. And he writes, since you have such a wonderful life with Joanne, I consider you to be a genius with the ladies.
Oh, he sure is.
Yep. And
I don't do nothing with the ladies.
No, you're a charmer. You're a charmer. Oh, my God. You're unbelievable.
I'm a respected woman, that's all.
What? Yeah, that's a good idea. Joanne, what did you say there?
I took him out to a restaurant with my girlfriend, and he had three waitresses fighting over him.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful she was.
Oh, I've seen it myself. I remember seeing his charms for many, many years. Many years.
Yeah.
I'm always like, what are you doing? How is that even possible? But that's good, because Jason has a question. Maybe you can provide some insight. He's looking for some advice. He says, my girlfriend is not happy that I... with me whenever I ride on my motorcycle.
All right. Yeah.
And even though the girlfriend encouraged him to buy it, he can't figure her out. What should I do? So when he rides his motorcycle, she gives him the business. What should I do, Meathead?
Well, I really cannot understand the common sense of owning a motorcycle in a city. I think if you're out in the wilderness and all that, you have a motorbike, you can take it and ride around. But that's a dangerous, dangerous machine.
Okay, so yeah, this
and
is...
And I've seen some people that they take off with a speed you wouldn't even believe.
Yeah, they drive them ride on them like they own the road.
Absolutely. What is it, Joanne?
It's a donor machine.
A donor?
Yeah, donor. Yeah. I've heard that because they
what
get
the hell is a donor machine.
Well, what that means is then they get in a wreck and then they donate their organs because they die.
Oh, I see. I get it. Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's all right to have a motorcycle out in the wilderness, take it and ride around, you know.
Yeah.
We had that in your country.
Yeah, I know.
Ride all the time.
I remember we used to bring dirt bikes up north, and we would kill it. We had so much fun.
I see why they love them, but nobody watches out for them.
No, only stupid people ride motorcycles on the road, in my opinion.
I cannot understand that. I think the thinking is totally off.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think what his girlfriend is doing is she's just worried about him.
Of course.
But I don't know why the girlfriend then encouraged him to buy one. That's a bad deal. I mean, if you're going to encourage the guy to buy one, you can't turn around and get mad about it.
Absolutely. You're correct.
So...
Correct.
Yeah, it seems like you're getting a mixed message there, Jason.
Jason, a motorcycle is designed to be ridden in a place that no human beings are hanging around. It's just you and your motorcycle. Up on the moon.
All right, yeah, okay, I'm just adding that to the things I got to mention at the end. So, Brian has a question, totally different topic. And he writes, good day, Meathead.
Good day, son. How you doing?
Brian writes, I have to make a difficult decision. I have to choose. Uh-oh. I have to choose between two potential job paths. One, I will have the chance to make more money, but the job requires much travel. The other is similar to my current job. Less travel, more and less money. He's concerned about not making the right decision. So more money, more travel, less time with the family. The other option is less travel, less money.
Money isn't everything as far as Joanne is concerned. But I say you should take, go over that again.
Okay. One job, more travel, more money. Job number two, less travel, less money.
You have to realize what this does to your family.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's true.
How much do they lose by you being away from them?
Right, right. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Unless it's like an ungodly amount of money. I mean, if it's a few thousand bucks, screw it. Stay home.
Well, I mean, your family simply means you are the bread and butter winner of the family. They want you with them, not on the job and being gone and all these shenanigans that goes with it, you know.
And does he even like to travel?
And does this guy like traveling? Or is this a novelty and he wants to get it done and see how it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Really good. I know that I have a former, my old pal Freebeer, he traveled so much, he ended up traveling to a divorce. My God.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of life is it for a family when a husband and a wife... They're actually separated.
All right. Dad, I'm going to go over a few poignant things that you said during our discussion. You started us off by pointing out that the law was the law and that the law would kill them in Iran.
Hey, listen. I got to add on another one. We actually hang people out there.
Oh, I know it. Riding a motorcycle, you have to ride in a place where no human beings are.
Yeah, really.
And
it's for your own pleasure, you know.
And concerning working, your family means you're the bread and butter.
Yeah. They lose you. They lost their bread and butter.
I love it. That's all very, very good, solid information on another rip-roaring edition of Dear Meathead. I once again thank you both, and I love you very much.
I love you back, and you and your family. I'd like to get to see you one of these days. I don't know when, but...
How long is Nikki in town for?
6 days.
6 days.
Okay,
six days.
I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay.
Love you.
Love to have you, honey.
Okay, honey.
I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys. Have a good one.
God bless.
Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. There you go. Dear Meathead, another fantastic version right there. I'm not kidding you. The fights that my dad and Nikki would get in, oh. I would so often be like, oh no, you're dead. And I just seeing the steam shoot out of this man's ears. Oh. She fried his brain time and again, Nikki did. And I learned quickly to tread lightly. You know, just be careful, because I thought she could throw a fucking punch like you wouldn't believe. And I'd been on the receiving end of more than one of those. And if she punched you, it's like, goddamn, you know, her sister is probably like a couple years older than her, Elizabeth. And then Sue's probably 10 years older. And Nikki could kick all their asses. Did not fuck with Nikki. Even to this day. It's like, hey, how are you? Do not fuck with Nikki. She'll fucking beat your ass. My stepsister. I think she would fare well in prison. Like, if they were to throw her in the joint in, like, you know, a couple days' time, she's going to go and find the baddest bitch in the joint and knock her the fuck out. And then everybody's giving her cigarettes and, you know, servicing her. Jesus. All right. So that's what's going on. Love it. Dear Meathead, each and every day, Wednesday at about the same time. I want to say hello to my friends at A&E Heating and Cooling. 616-516-8579. Joe Martinez has been with me nearly all the way back to the beginning of this version of the podcast. So if anything goes south on the AC unit and you live in West Michigan, this is who you call. 616-516-8579 for A&E Heating and Cooling. Also, he can help you out with getting that AC tuned up. That's something you should do every year, as well as your furnace. Regardless of what happens, you should always see Joe twice a year to set yourself up with the AC and then the furnace too. 616-516-8579. We've got 50 years of King's Room Barbershop. Had a wonderful time celebrating with King's Room Barbershop on Saturday. There was bands out there like The Next and Stevie Reeds and Co. and Driven were out there. That was a fun time. I was lucky enough to MC for the crew. Head over to King's Room Barbershop, three locations. Haircut fit for a king. King's Room Barbershop, Northland Drive, Caledonia, and at 821 36th Street in beautiful Wyoming, Michigan. Get your haircut at King's Room Barbershop. Getting word through the grapevine here in the chat that our pals on the Boomer Bunker are stream sniping the show. That is good. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support. The ghost of Boomer Bob lets us know that Bob died, as you know. That is cool. It is always good to have more people paying attention to the Eric Zane Show podcast, even if they are the former Zaniacs, who are kind of a disgusting bunch, but they're probably very happy because Trump is going to win the election. I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's over. It was over before the wacko tried to shoot Trump. That just made it even better for him. Trump is actually happy he got shot. The guy at this point in time can do no wrong. If when the first time you got voted in, you were quoted as saying, we got to grab him by the pussy, and that didn't do anything, you can only go up from there. It was brilliant. Megan says, wait, Bob died? No, not really. That was just a joke. That is not true. He didn't really die. I was just saying that. But, I mean, I said it like it was true. No, no, no. She says she's slow on the uptake. No, you're not. It was fine. I just said that because he stopped doing the show with John and Planet Fitness. And then I don't know what happened. I have no idea. I haven't seen the show in a long time. I just know that Bob is definitely, I think he listens. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back, folks. All right, that wraps up Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2, happens right after this separate podcast on the platform. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.